Alrighty, so in 2009 I was flown all the way to Abu Dhabi, and I was working there pretty much every day, doing shows in the summer in Abu Dhabi Festival. And when I was there, I was sharing a room with a young Malaysian magician called Kabir Khan. And, well, this guy, you already knew he was going to be somebody big. And I met up with him now, about 10 years later. And yes, he is a huge success. So we're talking this week to Kabir Khan. He's got such an amazing, keen mind on how to be successful, such clarity of purpose. We've got lots and lots of interesting information about getting how he got a big deal working for the Malaysian Tourism Board around the world, how he's built relationships with potential clients and mentors and celebrities, and how he's used those contacts to build his brand so that when people come across him, they say, oh, yes, obviously you are a top-class, world-class, international performer. We want to hire you, and we will pay you the big bucks. It was great to talk to him. I grabbed him while he was passing through Hong Kong. We're in the lobby of a hotel, so there's some background noise, but bear with that, because there's lots and lots of really, really useful information.
Well, a lot of things happened from Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
After Abu Dhabi, I had a few opportunities in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it all expanded from there.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm talking to Kabir Khan.
Yeah,
and, and, well, whenever I see you, your shoes are highly polished, your hair is fantastic.
That's right.
Your clothes are super ironed and crisp and clean.
Yeah, that's correct.
Your props are immaculate. So how important has it been to you and your career to look so smart?
There is a phrase. Allow me to tell you what it is. Presentation is everything. The minute you get on stage or you meet somebody, that first 7 seconds, they will sum up who you are on what you look like.
Yeah.
We are living in the 21st century. People have become more materialistic. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I think we have to adapt to that. So when you play the part of an international world-class performer, you psychologically feel that you are that, and it will be shown to your audience.
Yeah.
And your audience will better appreciate you. So presentation is everything.
Yeah. All right. And whenever I look at your promotional material, you always get respected figures giving you testimonials. And what a great idea. And without a doubt, you are very talented. But, you know, actually anybody could start collecting testimonials. Even I've met Jackie Chan for 2 minutes. I could have got something from him. I've met Prime Ministers of Singapore. I've done birthday parties for Hong Kong pop stars for their kids.
Correct.
So if I'd been thinking as smartly as you, I could have started collecting those sound bites and testimonials.
Sure.
When did you start doing that?
Well, the big guys. I'll tell you right now. So the three major supporters that I have.
Yeah.
One is Copperfield.
Yeah.
Second is Jack Canfield.
Yes.
Talk about Jack Canfield in a minute.
Yeah.
About the I appear in his book.
Ah.
I'm not sure if you have been. I'll send you a profile later.
Yeah.
I appeared in his book. It became a New York Times bestseller. Over 1 million copies sold. 64 different countries. It was translated 32 languages.
Wow.
And Yuri Geller, which I think
yes.
You are. So after our trip in 2009,
yeah.
I had a bit of money and I visited Geller 2 months later.
Yes.
So, but the thing about collecting, it's not about collecting testimonials. So if we let's start with the right foot. It's about building a relationship with your potential client.
Yeah.
Just as an example, Jackie Chan. If it was a good idea, you didn't get a testimonial from him because he has met millions of performers.
Ah.
Never do that. You build a relationship with him, have a hook factor. Do something, whatever you may do, that the next time when he's in Hong Kong, when he meets a performer like yourself, say, hey, remember that guy, Ben, yeah, I like that guy. Because I think, Ben, for you, what you have in you, which you don't have to manipulate, is you have a likable character. That is
inborn.
People will like you without them even knowing you. Now that's a gift. Now you could use that to your, I won't say advantage, but to your, crudely say, to your advantage.
Yeah.
So referrals and testimonials are important for you to expand your career. But the reason why you have testimonials and big names is you want to up your fee. That is 10, 20, 25, 35%. So that the minute you have your brochure, your video, Jackie Chan says something about you, Cantonese pop star says something about you, immediately that client of yours or the agent will say, okay, that is a high figure price, let's not clown around with him.
Yeah.
So you are actually controlling the dialogue and the situation the minute you send your promo materials. So I've been blessed with good friends, Copperfield, Gallen, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul. So now when I send my stuff out, in fact, it's because of Yuri Geller's testimonial, just to bring you up to speed, I have been, this September last year, the Malaysian government, they appointed me as the tourism ambassador to
Las
the US
Vegas
and UK.
And Hollywood, right?
Sorry?
Las Vegas and Hollywood. They took you there.
Yeah, right?
Tourism Malaysia.
Tourism Malaysia. So,
wow.
So again, it starts with building a relationship, and once they said, you know, they like you, you become part of their family, and then you said, hey, listen, Jackie Chan, giving an example, you know, I'm trying to get a bigger gig and to do something for myself. Do you think you can give me a testimonial for something, something that you can write about me, that, you know, it's for me to expand my career. So a person like yourself in my profile, I'll be seen as a big diamond. It allows me to expand my career. I hope you're okay with that.
Yes.
In fact, then you tell them, I know Mr. Jackie Chan, you are a very busy guy. However, I have prepared for you a simple testimonial here that you may consider. You are free to edit it any way you wish.
Yeah.
Or you can even use your own one. But anything you say, I will take.
Well, nobody can see you. I'm bowing down. That was my question. How do you approach them? How do you request it? And that's the perfect way, of course. You have a relationship with them.
I have a relationship with them.
And then, once you have a relationship, you approach them and say, look, I do have this big show, possibility for this big show or something.
Yeah.
Is there any way, if I prepare this statement, you can edit it any way you like?
Exactly. I'll tell you a little story then. So, I wanted to become the tourism ambassador. I have planned this over 2 years.
Yeah.
What I need was the age on my side. And I have to be in the 30s. Now I'm 32.
Yeah.
I have to be in the 30s to get this, because age plays an important part. If I was in my 20s, no one's going to take me seriously.
Right.
If we are now in the 30s, 40s, whatever it is, even better.
Yeah.
Like, you're taken seriously, you're a world-class professional. So then, I have established my rapport with Geller since 2006.
Yeah.
2009, I met him for the first time, and every year I've been meeting him. So,
how did you first get to know him?
Yuri Geller. Well, I wrote to him.
Yeah.
And he replied.
Wow. Simple as that.
Simple as that. I wrote to him and he replied. That's it. That's the secret. Because I think we all are stuck in our own worlds thinking that mega stars. Well, it's true. It's not easy to write to them. I was lucky.
Yeah.
But most of them.
Why not? Why not?
You know, it just costs you a stamp, a birthday card,
and
a nice heartwarming letter to the person, and then just for their reply.
Yeah.
And they did, and I established a relationship with him. You know, he treats me like his own son. But it took over nearly 10 years to build a relationship. So last year, and remember, when you meet these big guys, you only have one opportunity to shine. Only one. You can only ask them one favor.
Yeah.
So Geller, who is my mentor, Ben, I asked him, I said, Yuri, I'm trying to apply for this government position. No, it's not a position, it's an ambassadorial role. And I've got my promo video made, my latest promo video made, which I will send it to you, Ben. But what I think I would need your help, if you can give me a testimonial.
Yeah.
That will make a whole big difference for me and my chances. The minute they see you, without anything, I won half the battle.
Yes.
Then the rest is my own thing.
Yeah.
Can you please give me a testimonial? I can give something to you if you'd like, because you're busy. instead of giving me a written testimonial, say, Kabir, for you, I'll do a video testimonial for you.
Brilliant.
And some of them do that.
Yes.
So, but the key here is relationship.
Yeah.
You build a relationship with them, and then you ask them when needed, one favor that
when
you can
say
help
build
you
a relationship. So it starts off maybe by you writing them a letter, sending them a birthday card or something.
No, but birthday card is one of the, yeah, you know.
And yeah, then when you say building relationship, is it just the occasional email or just...
Well, these are big guys, so you don't want, yeah, to be bothering them all the time.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, what do you mean by building relationship? You're just someone...
It took me 10 years to, yeah, build a solid... Even with Canfield.
Yes.
Canfield, I became... You know, internationally renowned because I appeared in his book in 2015.
Whoa. I'm just going to repeat that again. Kabir Khan says he became internationally renowned after appearing in Jack Canfield's book. And Jack Canfield, well, even I've heard of him, very famous motivational author. I think most famous for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Even I've heard of that book. All right, let's go back to talk to Kabir.
I became, you know, internationally renowned because I appeared in his book in 2015. Four pages about my life story. Because back in 2005, when I was a struggling artist, I met him and I asked a favor from him. Canfield, I've been reading your book, Success Principles, but I've been failing.
Can Successful? You,
the Success Principles.
Success Principles, yes.
But I've been failing. He sat me down for 1.5 hours when he arrived to Malaysia at night. He told me how to be successful, and in 2005 he said, if you make it in 10 years, I'll write about you. True enough, in 2015 he wrote 4 pages about me, and it became a New York Times bestseller, that book.
Wow.
Because this guy, you know, he's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Yes. Immediately my name has been in one
he
minute.
Wrote...
He wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul.
A very famous book, even I've heard of that.
Yeah. So now it's in all, I've been traveling, I love bookshops very much, it's in all major bookshops, and that gave me the leverage. My name is in the book, so now when someone Googles me, you know, it's written there, Kabir Khan is also featured in New York Times bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Soul, immediately your profile rises up.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but again, it will take time. It'll take time to, it's not a 1-2 days thing.
Yeah. That is fascinating.
That's great.
Thank you.
I can see how you just build the relationship, and
yeah,
you just give me a few examples.
Yes.
It's really, really, really good. How did you go from being magic being a hobby to it becoming a profession?
I started with an end in mind.
Yeah.
I said I want to become a world-class magician. And then I worked backwards. So the latest big break, as I mentioned, I was appointed by the Malaysian government.
Oh yes.
To be the tourism ambassador for the United States and the United Kingdom. So my job is to perform in the... I just came back from London.
Yeah.
I was there for nearly a month. London and Berlin. So my job is to perform for the elite audiences there. Embed the word Malaysia in my performance. Then during the cocktail session, mingling session, I tell them why I've come to Malaysia. Because my crowd consists of the high net worth individuals, socialites, kings.
Yeah.
So these people have even visited the moon. They have no reason to come to Malaysia.
Yeah.
But as I pointed out, it is important to motivate someone to do something. So they might have been to Malaysia, they might not have been to Malaysia. So my job is to tell him, hey, you know, you'll be traveling around the world. You should visit Malaysia, and here's why. I'll give him 3 reasons. So that is how.
How did you get in contact with the Minister for Tourism? Is he a musician as well, isn't he?
No.
How did that happen, then?
Well, it's a long story, but to cut it short, I prepared for 2 years.
Really?
Since 2014 I was on the case already.
Yeah.
I knew that this is going to be the worst, but I needed more things, more profile, because what I had in 2014 wasn't enough. So 2015 was a breaking point where I was featured in the book. That
yes.
was enough. Then I made my video in Vegas. In December 2015 I asked Yuri Geller for a testimonial.
Yes.
September 2016 I met the minister, showed him the video. He says,
how did you meet him though?
It was through one connection of mine.
Yeah.
Who knew him personally.
Right.
But I had to convince him that I was worthy.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, you cannot just meet a minister.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 5 minutes you're out of the door. But somehow, I managed to impress the minister. And he saw my video. He asked me to stop it. He said, are you Malaysian? Because I never heard of you before. He said, yes, that is me. I am a Malaysian. I said, you know, you're big time in the US, in the UK. How come I've not heard of you? I said, well, the reason is because I've been concentrating performing out of the country than in Malaysia.
Yes.
He says, these are the things that I need. You are the type of person that I need.
Perfect.
So then I showed him some demonstrations.
So did the idea for promoting Malaysia as part of a tourism overseas, did that idea come first? You had that. How did you have that idea?
Well,
or was it the idea that?
No, it was a 2009 idea. The first ambassador was Jimmy Choo, famous shoe designer. Then after that, there was a few ones.
Oh, so you've seen there's been various ambassadors, Malaysian artists.
You have to be.
And you realise that why isn't Kevin Khan the next one?
Yeah, I said why can't I be this? I am like them.
Yeah.
I've been performing internationally.
Yes.
I perform for, you know, Sheikh, perform for billionaires. Why can't I do this? It doesn't make sense.
This is fascinating.
So when I saw that, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself 2 years to build my profile.
Yeah.
So I prepared for 2 years. I visualized success. I visualized that I will be getting the ambassadorial role when I performed internationally before I was appointed. I believed I was already the tourism ambassador, so I carried myself as the ambassador.
Yeah.
I convinced myself I was the ambassador. So when the time was right, when I met the minister, I was the perfect match.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, I'm clapping.
Thank you.
So cool. And something to take you back when I met you.
I met you in 2009.
And we were doing the summer in Abu Dhabi festival.
Fascinating. That was the best experience ever. In fact, I miss it.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was just, we were there for 2 months.
Yes.
Basically, all there was to do was to do shows.
That's
and perform.
And if you remember, I had no day off.
No, you had,
I didn't negotiate.
Yeah, you were so keen to get the job.
Yes.
That you didn't even ask for a day off.
I almost performed.
Because you were so young and innocent.
Yes. I needed the job. That's another thing.
But you were there.
I was there.
And straight away, because you looked so professional, and so smart, and so immaculate, you were the guy who was spotted by the Sheikh.
Yes.
And then you started. He's the guy to come outside of the festival and do a show for me.
Yes, correct.
And so straight away, because you're looking so smart, because you're looking so professional, you're getting more and more and more work.
Exactly.
And big contacts, major, wealthy clients.
100%. The reason is because when you dress up like them, they feel you're part of that elite society.
Yeah.
So they feel, without even talking to you, that, okay, this guy, you know, I won't be embarrassed because, I mean, unfortunately, I've seen some magicians. Let me talk about magicians. I've seen some of them, and you cannot advise, but then, you know, they think, you know, they'll feel offended. Their shoes are not polished.
Yeah.
Their pens they're using are not sewn properly. Mm. They use a faded jacket. Something, you know, $100 jacket off the rack, a shirt which is sunny yellow, and you have to invest in yourself. I tell one or two friends of mine who are magicians, I said, listen.
But how do you keep all your stuff? So you must spend a lot of time polishing your shoes, ironing your shirts, getting it all looking smart.
A lot of time and money, Ben.
Yeah.
Because I knew what the result's going to be. Because, yes, it takes some time. That was a sacrifice we have to make.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Because I pack for my show, I put my props together, and that takes, you know, can take 2 hours. And then to do what you do, then you spend another 2 hours, your hair, your shoes.
Exactly.
It's a lot of work.
That unfortunately, you know, because I don't have the finance to, like Mariah Carey, to have the hairdresser.
No,
we are
sole traders.
Yeah.
We are self-employed.
Exactly. So, but I think, investing in good stuff, just one pair of something, will take you a long way.
Yeah.
And the yes, we have to make some sacrifice to make sure our shirts are ironed properly, our shoes are properly. Because remember, the minute you walk out, the first 7 seconds, they're going to judge who you are from what you wear.
Yeah.
So that has brought me a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, after that, I have spent a lot of money for shoes and things and that. But to me, I see this as self-investment. I'm investing in myself.
Mm. The jumper I just totally a slightly different question. But I'm quite interested because you performed in many different countries.
That's correct.
So can you compare the scenes starting off in Malaysia?
Yes.
Seen Abu Dhabi, studying in Hollywood.
Yes.
Can you compare some of those different scenes and performing with different audiences? Let's start at the beginning. You grew up in Malaysia.
Yes, that's right. I grew up in Malaysia. I was born in Malaysia, and I was there till I was about. I got my first international exposure when I was 9. My dad did an economics degree, master's in US.
Mm.
So that's, kind of my eyes are open. I saw the West at a young age.
Yes.
Then I came back, 2006-07. I said to myself, in order to be world class, I could study with world class individuals.
This is what I'm amazed about, because magic was your hobby, but you're in Malaysia, and you decided to go all the way to places like the Magic Castle and whatever in America, in Los Angeles, Hollywood.
Exactly. So, because...
Tell me about that.
You know, if you want to be the best, be at the top of your field, you have to associate and learn from the best. And fortunately or unfortunately, these people are based in the US. So I went there in 2006-07, around that time, spent 6 months there. I came back. I did my first promo video.
Mm.
Then
I've seen it. I think your DVD.
That's the third generation.
That's third generation. Okay.
That's old. I've got the.
Oh, you've got even
I've got the latest one.
Okay.
So that was a stepping stone. By the way, it was because that I went. Did I tell you how I got my summer Abu Dhabi job?
No.
There were 10 magicians.
Yeah.
There were 10 magicians. And I was one of them.
Wow.
I made it to the top 10.
So 10% chance, 1 in 10.
Exactly, 10. I remember it was 6 Australians, 1 Malaysian, 6 Singaporean, and it was a Singaporean company,
yes,
remember that?
Yes.
6 Singaporean magicians, 1 from Malaysia, 3 from Australia.
Yeah.
What set me apart, besides I had some good material, it was I had that training. I had the diploma from the Magic Studio of Los Angeles and Vegas.
Mm.
So when I met the owner, I gave them my profile. They were probably impressed.
Yeah, I bet they were.
You mean you have a diploma in magic? Yes. And then I talked about it. So immediately they feel, okay, this is the guy that I want.
Yeah.
This guy has a degree in magic or something. Well, the others, whom I believe at that time were much superior than me, lost out because they didn't have a quote-unquote formal education in magic.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot. So I see this as building steps.
Yeah.
The first I went to Hollywood, I studied with the best. I went to Vegas, I got a diploma, a degree in magic, got back, made my testimony, made my video, and then I got the job in some of Abu Dhabi, and then from there things expanded.
It's amazing. This young guy from Malaysia, and you decide to go and study magic in the most famous magic studio in the world.
That's right. That's how it happened.
And it worked, because
it worked.
How you got the job in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yes.
Gosh. Okay. You studied at the Magic... Let's get some names. Magic Castle?
Okay. Magic Castle is where I performed in 2011.
Okay.
I studied in two places.
Called Chavez.
Chavez Studio of Magic. And the second one is...
McBride?
The Jeff McBride Mystery and Magic School in Las Vegas.
Fantastic. How do you get all your... in Abu Dhabi...
Yes.
You were just a one-man act.
Yes.
Do you use assistants at all in your shows nowadays?
I have... switched from magic to psychic performances for the past 2 years.
Yes.
It's a one-man show, and yes, you need one assistant is fine, an attractive lady bringing you the book, bringing you the prop.
Yeah.
Because remember, you're just dressing up a show. I don't need them.
Yeah.
I can work offhand. But your show is better when you have an attractive lady.
Right.
Because it makes the show bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I always find it kind of hard to hire someone else because I feel like I either don't pay them enough or I pay them too much.
The best is to get students who are mature in their thinking. Some students still think like a 5-year-old. When I say students, I'm talking about college students.
Mm.
They want some extra pocket money.
Yeah.
You know, just give an average. Like for example, if yeah, I don't know how much they get paid. Just say for example, for a 4-hour gig, you're doing other assistants maybe get $100 or $200.
Yeah.
You can get half of that because they just want pocket money and the experience.
That makes sense, yeah.
So the students are the best to get.
Yeah.
They don't have to work hard like their friends working in shopping malls or Starbucks. Here they're working 4 hours and they get a week's pay.
Mm. Mm.
So it's fine.
Can I go through one of your current stage shows, bit by bit?
Sure.
So how long is your standard?
I have three different shows.
Okay.
I have a 20-minute show.
Yeah.
I have a 40 to 45-minute show, and I have got a 90-minute show.
Wow, 90 minutes.
The 90-minute show comes at interval. That's a one-man play.
Yeah.
Tough to do, but it has its payoff. So but the most frequent that I have, like now I'm dwelling with Tourism Malaysia, it's a 20-minute to 30-minute
show. Okay, let's go for that then. Yeah. So how does it begin?
Unfortunately, I can't tell you what I do.
Sure, no, don't reveal any secrets.
Not the secrets, but basically it is, end of the day, it's a psychic show.
Yes.
Because of the way I speak, I'm talking about US and the UK.
Yes.
They find that when they host a dinner, they tell their tour agents, media, airline operators, people that support Tourism Malaysia, that a well-known psychic performer, Kabir Khan, is coming to Los Angeles to perform and he will be here at the press conference.
Yeah.
They are excited to see me
and
they flock to the show to see me.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm Malaysian, I look different, my accent is different.
I understand exactly. That's why I get so much work in Singapore and Hong Kong, because I look different. I'm a white guy doing these shows.
That's why I don't sell in Malaysia, Singapore and Hong Kong.
Yeah, you've got to go to another country.
So
it's vice versa for me and you.
Because there's a saying I was told by my mentor, passed away. He said, no man is a prophet in his own land.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
So, to sum what I do for 20 minutes, 5 things.
Yeah.
I have a beginning piece. Starting piece. Let's see.
Do you use any music at the start?
I do have music. Yeah, I do. I do have some music, but not all. Some music to play with their moods. Then I've got a second piece.
Mm.
Then I go for my signature routine. The fourth one, it's the magic act, because it can't be all psychic.
Right.
The fifth one is what I'm known for. So that is a circle.
And what are you known for?
I'm known for, okay, imagine this, man. We have 150 people coming.
Because when I was in Abu Dhabi, you were still just beginning, and then you were known for your floating table, which is wonderful.
Yes, it is a wonderful prop. But now everyone does the floating table.
Yes.
So, the guests that come for my shows, they are encouraged before the show, in their own house, in a 3x5 like this, to write down their full name.
Yeah.
Write down a question about themselves or something unique.
So on a piece of paper,
yeah,
piece of this card.
And a specific question that you want answered in the future. Like for example, will my child go to Cambridge?
Yes.
Or will I be getting this job promotion in HSBC Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Then fold it up, put it into an envelope, that envelope goes into your pocket.
Yeah.
You speak to no one before the show. Now you come for the show, I do my stuff. Second part of the show, I bring out my crystal ball, I look at it, I said, I'm getting Ben, who's Ben Ben, the funny man. Who's Ben, the funny man over here? Ah, you, sir. Please stand up. Then I start to describe what favorite things you like.
Yeah.
What's your last three digits of your card number?
Wow.
Then I will answer your question in the future. And I do this to multiple people.
Yeah.
And people have a fascination whether they are atheists.
That's amazing.
You know, they just want to be entertained.
That's an amazing illusion. Wow.
You know, and the other one is you lock yourself in a room during the show, somewhere. You draw something on a piece of paper, you fold it up, put it in your sock, I don't care.
Yeah.
Come back into the room, I will draw what you had written or what you have drawn a few seconds, a few minutes ago. It's amazing. This is beyond
it is amazing.
Magic.
Because I'm not a magician, it's amazing to me. I'm a layman.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, these are called the random questions.
Sure.
Okay, so here we go. In a magic act, we're all human. Sometimes things won't go the way you expected.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you deal with the unexpected during one of your routines?
You mean mistakes?
Yeah, that was what I was trying to say.
Well, Robert Houdin once said, you can know how good a magician is and how well you cover your mistakes.
Yeah.
I've had many mistakes before
of
during
course.
The live shows. All of us did. But the way I put it out, people think it is part of the act.
Yeah.
Because remember, they don't know it's a mistake until you tell them
yes.
it's a mistake.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, you're doing acrobat, jumping. The first few times you want to fall. You want to purpose. You know, some of them, I think you do the same.
Yeah.
You'll fall, you fail. But then you're having the crowd to be on your side, because when you're up there, they are all, you know, can Ben do this, can do, you know, you're preconditioning them. So, but if all goes wrong and you fail and something happens, I think you don't want to tell the audience that you failed. You just pretend, because they don't know your act.
Exactly. Well, for an acrobat, if you fail, you can turn it into as if you meant to fail, as if it's a comedy part.
Yes,
said.
Yes.
For a magician, I think often if you don't totally reveal what's going to happen,
yes.
they don't know if what happens is not exactly what you were planning.
Exactly.
They still think that that's what you were planning. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Is there an old routine, that something that you've been doing for decades?
Oh yes, I still do it to this very day.
Which one? All of them, some of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you one of them. You take out a dollar bill.
Yeah.
Or a $20 Hong Kong bill. You sign it.
Yeah.
You note down the serial number. You tear off yourself. I don't even touch the bill. You tear off a small corner
yeah.
as a receipt.
Yeah.
You put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
You take the rest. Make it vanish. You examine my hands. Make sure there's no plastic stuff.
Yeah.
No folds. Nothing. Then everyone will follow me to the garden.
Yeah.
And see a flower pot there. I will take a small shovel and start digging, then they find a box. Then I say, here's the key. I give it to the person that gave me the bill. He opens it, he finds a small tube. He opens the tube, then it is his money, sign, seal, separate seal number, and the corner match.
Fantastic.
So I still do that till this very day because it's a powerful effect.
Yeah. Are there any props that you carry with you at all times?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Do you ever improvise in your shows? I guess you have to improvise
yes.
a bit if there's
Yes. Every time. I'm planning to get a professional stage director now
mm-hmm.
To direct me. I do lots of reading, I do lots of research. Yeah, you've got to improvise all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I've done this already. Assistants or no assistants. Not for your psychic work.
I don't need one. I have one just for the sake of having
Again, it comes back to your saying the image you present.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Image,
so
oh, yeah.
Once you come on stage, that first 7 seconds, this guy's got a beautiful assistant. This is a class act.
Exactly.
Yeah. Over the years, music's become an issue because when I started, when I back in the early 90s, you could use any music you liked. Nowadays, there's copyrights problems.
Yes. Yes.
Where do you get your music? Do you have any special tips on music?
Yes. In my contract, I make sure the client takes care of the copyright issues.
Right. Yeah.
So once you do that, they, you know, because most MCs, most DJs, they already have, when the client have the DJ, they have a music license already.
Yeah.
Or second, you just get music that, you know, if you're performing in a house or something, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But if you're in a performing public arena, then you're going to be a bit careful.
Yeah. Okay. almost finally, are there any tips you'd give to anyone who's just starting out? And I'd like to put a few words in your mouth. I think for you, it seems to me from talking to you, that it's very much about building relationships, having a plan, seeing an opportunity and planning, and politely taking steps to get noticed.
Yes. Never have a backup plan.
Never
have a backup plan. Because
commit 100%.
95% of the chance when you have a backup plan, you are going to fall.
Yeah.
From the second plan. Like for example, you are. Just let's talk about medicine since we're talking.
Yeah.
You want to become a magician, but then you said, okay, if I don't make up as a magician, then maybe let me do a diploma in accountancy. I can become an accountant.
Yeah.
If you start with that, you're dead. It's either you make it or you don't. That's
okay.
It. So I was put in this situation. If I don't make it, I'm going to be a bum. I'm going to be a failure. People will laugh at me. So that fear motivated me. I said, you know what? I don't have a backup plan.
You know what? That is absolute. I think that's really fascinating, because most performers would say, oh yeah, I have a backup plan just in case. But you're saying, actually, why not? Why not just go 100% committed? Because if you don't put in 100%, you'll never know.
If you put in 100, like you rightly said, you put in 100 or 110%, you are bound to succeed. The reason why people don't succeed is because they even have not passed 50%.
Yeah.
That's usually.
You know what it's like? It's like when you're 12 years old and you're trying to ask a girl out for the first time at school.
Yes.
And you go there and you're winning yourself to ask her out, and then you chicken out, you have your backup plan. Oh, I won't bother, I'll play football instead. You should just do it. Ask the girl out. Go for the gig. Get it.
That's where my problem is. I feel like a 12-year-old, even though I'm 32 when I approach women. But yes.
100%, okay, 100%.
I'll take that advice.
Women, use your magic. Use your magic career to guide your relationship career.
So. But yes. When you have no backup plan,
yeah.
I won't tell you the basic stuff that you should know. Working hard, having an optimistic, read a lot of business books,
yeah.
Read a lot about motivation, invest in yourself. These are the things that you need. You know, read business books, because you've got to know the business side of it if you don't make money. Read some self-help books. Some guys think you don't need to read self-help books because they're already smart. I'm sorry. You need to have some knowledge from people who have made it already.
Yeah.
And thirdly, really dive into it. Don't wait for the perfect moment.
Although I must say one thing, it just occurs to me, and it was sensible for you. You're a magician, now you're a psychic. This you can do for a very long time.
Yes.
Now, someone like me, who started out as a juggler and a unicyclist, as the decades go past, I realise actually my physical skills will wear out. But following your line of thinking, I don't have a backup plan, I don't want to have a different career. I think what I would do is I would change the skill into a comedy. I would change the, rather than trying to juggle five balls on a single unicycle, I would use my comedy skills and do something that's physically as demanding, but just as much fun
that
to watch.
That is correct. Yeah, because there are a lot of stand-up comedians in the US that I've seen. You know, they're 50, 60. They're not even on the, they're on stage and doing some funny stuff. And I said, you have an inbuilt gift. That is, you are likable. You won't be. I don't know if you. I have not seen you being hustled or heckled before. It's because people do not want to heckle you. Because you're a likable guy.
Yeah.
Why would I want to? I like this guy. Why would I heckle him? But maybe someone like me. They want to try.
Really?
Maybe.
But everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. So you're right. Just tweaking, just changing a few things. Just sit down back, videotape yourself. Look. Say, what can I change to make it more compact?
Sure. How do you rehearse? Do you videotape yourself a lot?
I videotape. The best form of rehearsal is performing.
Yes.
Sometimes I perform my act for free.
Yes. So you can work out how the new act is going to work.
Different state, different country, different name.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Ah, different state, different country, different name. Different perform name. For free.
Yes.
So if it goes wrong, nobody knows.
No one knows.
No problem. But no, you're going to learn so much. In fact, if it goes wrong, often that's the best. Then
yes.
You've learned
so much.
Yes. That's a very good idea.
I do that a lot. I will not mention that name that I use.
Okay, that's great. This is fantastic. This is why I like to talk to people.
Sure.
I find these tips that I'd never thought of. Yeah, why not, if you're trying out a new act, different country, different state, different name. Yeah. Why not? Perfect.
Because people, you know, want your performance for free. Yeah, just give me a place to stay. I'll take care of my own travels. Just give me food and I'll perform for free. And why am I doing it? Because, make something up.
How do you get your promotional videos made? They're always very, very slick.
Oh yes, well I get the top guys to do it.
I guess you're paying people to do it.
You're gonna pay. I spend a lot of money on promotional videos, but one show I would have covered promotional video. But just one show, because the guy that made my latest video, he did some work for Copperfield.
Yeah.
So I understood. It was expensive, but for me, it was well worth it. Because agents have seen your videos.
Mm.
Unfortunately, a lot of entertainers think that they're going to use a friend's iPhone and then edit it in their Mac and give an agent. The agent will be, they have seen videos all the time.
Yeah.
And they know what is made on a computer and what is made by a professional.
Yeah.
Two different things. So if you want to catch an agent's attention, just, again, invest in yourself. Get a good promo video. Go get yourself an Armani shoe. Go get yourself a Gucci. And I don't care. But the minute you invest in these things, your return is going to come for 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm.
Compared to doing it yourself.
Do you think it's better to have masses of videos online
or
just a few really good ones?
It depends. I don't believe, personally for me, this is how I work.
Mm.
If you go on YouTube, you're going to see really small snippets of me. And my latest promotional video does not even show what I do. It shows me as a mega star. That's it. That's what I wanted. Because if I show what I am doing, then people will know what I'm going to do already. The minute I take out the pen, oh, he's going to do this.
Mm.
I don't need that.
So you just have one very good short... You've got one very good short clip online.
Yes.
Rather than masses of this and that and everything.
There's two clips. One, you do a 30-second sizzle.
Mm.
The second one, nothing more than 1.5, maximum 2. Because after 2 minutes, the agent will chuck it away.
Fantastic.
My first video, if you remember, it was 10-15 minutes long. If you remember that.
It was
basically my whole act.
Yeah.
And the person who pointed it out is my dear mentor Yuri Geller.
Yeah.
After watching it, he said, "Kambi, this is fantastic, but you just showed your whole act. So there's no reason why I want to hire you, because I've seen your whole act already." So talking about promo videos, if it's 2 minutes, have quotes, testimonials, have people laughing, screaming, shouting. You show yourself a bit, and then you have testimonials from people, normal people. Even from live testimonials from people. Oh, Ben, Ben the funny man, my God, this fellow is fantastic, he made my day. And get someone to read right after the show, because the energy is there.
Yes, anybody can do this. Anybody who performs can do a good show, and just get some testimonies from the audience right after the show.
And you can take that one with your own phone, clear phone, because then it'll be edited into the video. Then you give it to the professional. He knows what to do and he knows how to enhance it.
Yeah, brilliant. Another great idea.
I'm full of ideas, Ben. Anytime you need this, let me know.
Another question. This might be too big to fit into our interview.
No,
might as well do it again another time. But here, customized magic for corporations. Sometimes you get shows for corporations or for the Marriage and Tourism Board. How do you manage to promote a brand or promote a product?
I have done many of this.
Yeah.
First rule, you need to understand business.
Okay.
You gotta understand marketing, you gotta understand promotions.
Yeah.
If you don't understand these three, you cannot incorporate any brand into an act. In fact, it'll become a joke.
Yeah.
I've seen the magician before in Malaysia, no names mentioned. He was promoting this jewelry company, it's a jewelry chain. He was doing, first of all, he looked awful with his outfit.
Yeah.
He didn't ask the client, "Dear Mr. So-and-so, what are the three important messages you want me to sell during my show?"
Yeah.
In fact, he assumed that what he's going to do when just put up a banner, we are from so-and-so company, yeah, and he, you know, then the name comes out of the back of the card and all these things. It doesn't work that way. If you want to incorporate brands into the show, you got to understand business. You know, see why the client is hiring you. Let's say, for example, I don't like to exaggerate, but can I use me as an example?
Please use yourself.
I can give you a
specific example.
So, it's quite a question because the watch I'm wearing right now is called Fortis.
Okay.
This is an old watch of mine, 2011. So this is it's a company that makes watches for astronauts.
Okay.
So this is a limited edition piece. They use this in their Mars mission.
Oh.
So of course I bought a watch before from them a long time ago. And they approached me, and I approached them. I said, "Listen, I'm going to have my big Hollywood show. Do you want to be a sponsor? And this is what I can do for you."
Yeah.
I told them the three things I can do for them, and they thought it was a brilliant idea because they are a big company but unknown compared to Rolex, Breitling, and AP and all these things. So they sponsored me the watch, and during my live shows, I went like this. So ladies and gentlemen, in Southeast Asia, I'm the fastest card shop. I can find the four aces in a shuffled pack of cards within 30 seconds. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a special night. You are all in for a treat. I'm going to find the four aces in the shuffled pack of cards in 25 seconds. That's a record for me. And to do that, we're going to use the official timekeeper.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fortis Space Matic, as you can see. Yeah, the numbers are clearly shown. They are known as the world's best chronographic timekeeper. They make watches for astronauts. Sir, will you join us on stage? Give him a round of applause. Sir, can you... So I will talk to the client before that. I just ask them, what is your aim?
Yes.
Because when you study business and you're trying to pitch a client, just say you're doing advertising, they have a goal in mind and you want to know what the goal is. It's the same thing. If you want to embed products and corporations into your act, get them sponsoring, you need to tell them why you, because two things they'll ask you. Who the hell are you and why do I care?
Yeah.
You can fulfill these two things, cover them. And then the others are just icing on the cake. But they just want to see that you understand business.
Yeah.
When you talk to them, you're not an entertainer. You are a world-class entertainer and also a businessman. When they see that, they say, "Damn, this fellow, why have not I seen this guy earlier?" Then you will be with them for a long time.
Oh, Kevin Khan, it's brilliant talking to you.
Anytime.
And before we do leave, if people want to check you out again, I'll say KabirKhanMagic.com. Is that the best place, or are there other websites?
Okay, well, I've got a new website.
Okay, here we go.
In fact, it's being updated as we speak. It's called MysticOfTheEast.com. That's what I'm known as.
I'll put that in the notes.
Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
So, that is Kabir Khan. What a brilliant talk. What a brilliant mind. Such clarity of purpose. How to be successful, putting yourself in the best light, building relationships, and getting the really, really big gigs. Amazing stuff. All right, this is Big Ben. I'll talk to you again next week. Take care.